May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever noticed that many of us take a great interest in royalty? Particularly the princes and princesses and queens and dukes and duchesses of Great Britain. We watch the royal weddings. We carefully track the royal pregnancies and pass around pictures of the royal babies. We engage in lengthy conversation about the royal clothes, what they are wearing, and with excruciating detail, we analyze the royal hats, or whatever those things are that they're having on their heads, and how in the world do they keep them right there like that, as if they have been glued there, but surely they're not glued. How do they do that even, you see? Yes, royalty. I wonder whether royalty, the persons in these families, might do us a service by reflecting kind of an aspect of ourselves, you know? Because after all, God made us with a certain degree of glory, a certain degree of nobility, of beauty, of grace. And it's easier to have someone else carry that aspect of ourselves for us, because when we try to reach the glory and the beauty and the nobility and the grace that is within us, we kind of have to reach our hands around all of this other stuff that's not particularly noble or beautiful or glorious or gracious, and that hurts, because then we have to repent and we have to ask for forgiveness and we have to seek forgiveness and accept forgiveness. We have to forgive others and all that stuff. And it's really, really hard and it hurts a lot. So it's just kind of easier to let somebody else do the job for us. I do think, though, they do a bit of a service in that they remind us of things that have to do with God's dreams. At their best, they do, if we allow them to be human too. In our baptism, God anoints us. Someone at your baptism took some oil and on your forehead made the sign of the cross and said your name, Joe, John, Mary, Jane, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Back in the ancient days, people were anointed for a few different reasons, and some of them were, you could be anointed as a prophet, you could be anointed as a priest, you were anointed to be a king. So we are all queens and kings in the realm of God. This means that God has given us authority to figure out the best way to use what God has given us, our realms, our queendoms or kingdoms, our realms, our spheres of influence. God has given us the authority to figure out how to use those things in ways that please God. So we have authority to figure out how we are to use our bodies and how we are to take care of our bodies, these gifts that God has given to us. God has given us authority to do this, to figure out the best way to do this in ways that are consistent with God's dreams and God's hopes for us and God's love for us and for the people around us. We can be creative. We have the ability to find out new things. God gives us authority to figure out how to engage our relationships with people and with each other in ways that are a blessing and of beauty. We have authority to figure out how we're going to earn our money and save and invest and spend and give our money in ways that are consistent with God's desire for everyone to be provided for and for life to be celebrated. God has given us authority to choose the attitudes with which we engage our families and our friends, the attitudes with which we engage our workplaces, our citizenship as in this nation and in our world. All these things, God has given us authority. Freedom. Freedom to figure out what's best. Now, here's the thing about freedom. Here's the thing about authority, about being a queen or a king. All true queens and kings use their authority in ways that they seek to please God. Now, we can be wrong. We frequently are. We can make mistakes. We frequently do. But we understand ourselves to be in service of a higher authority, of a higher power. We are accountable. And when we stop understanding ourselves to be accountable to a higher power, to the dreams of God, then we are no longer queens and kings. Rather, we are tyrants. When we do whatever it is we feel like, when we do whatever it is that seems most convenient or pleasurable at the moment, when it's all about us, our pride or our self-loathing or our inclinations, then we are not free. Indeed, we are subjected to one of the worst kinds of bondage, the bondage to ourselves. So we try to be queens and kings. Now, in the gospel lesson for today, Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you a king?" He's trying to figure out whether Jesus is a threat to Roman rule. Because if he sets himself up as a king, he might lead a rebellion, right? Are you a king? Jesus says, "My kingdom is not from this world." Now, this passage has been taken to mean over the years that Jesus is not particularly concerned with this world, that he's not particularly interested in this earth, which will pass away so quickly, and he wants to be concerned with heaven, and his kingdom is another in heaven, and therefore we Christians are not to be concerned with what happens on this earth, whether it has to do with justice for ourselves or others, or it has to do with the natural world. We're not to be concerned with such things, and we're instead to be concerned with getting ourselves and as many people as possible into heaven. This interpretation has a piece of truth to it, and that there is more to this world than we can see or hear or touch or taste. And there is more beyond death. But it's not consistent with the way Jesus behaves in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is very concerned with this earth, these people, this present day. The Gospel of John starts with the words, "In the beginning was the Word," that means Jesus, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him." And not one thing came into being without Jesus. So Jesus was a part of creating this earth. And then a little later, Jesus says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." God loves this earth. And then when Jesus is trying to show us what God is like, he does these miracles to show us what God is like. And so one day he wants to show us that this is the way God is. God opens our eyes to see things we had never seen before. So he heals a man's eyes, a man who's been born blind. It seems impossible, but there he is. It happens. But here is how Jesus does it. He doesn't just wave a magic wand and go poof and say the magic words. No, he spits in the dirt. He spits in the dirt. And makes a little bit of mud out of the dirt and makes this mud paste and put the mud paste on his eyes. Let's not talk about the sanitary implications of that. And he tells the guy to go wash, and he's clean. He can see. But it's very earthy. Very earthy. Jesus wants to show us what God's realm is like, and so he feeds 5,000 people. In God's realm, we feed each other. We make sure we have enough. And how does Jesus do that? He takes a gift from a child. It's a child's gift that he starts with. 5 loaves and 2 fishes from a kid. You know, a little kid's lunch. He takes his little kid's lunch and he feeds 5,000, thousands and thousands of people with his little kid's lunch. Very down to earth. And then he goes and he raises Lazarus from the dead. But what does he do right before he raises Lazarus from the dead, his friend? He knows that Lazarus is going to be walking around in 5 or 10 minutes because he's out there to show that the power of God is beyond death. It's beyond death. And yet he weeps. He weeps out of rage and grief. how very down to earth Jesus is. Pilate says, "So you are a king?" Jesus says, "I came into the world for this reason, to bear witness to the truth," right? To the truth. Because we might be wrong. We're wrong a lot. We might make mistakes. We might make mistakes a lot. But to be a queen or a king means that you are committed to the truth. You at least try to find the truth. We're all on a quest for the truth. Well, here's the truth. Goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Compassion is more tenacious than selfishness. Hope is deeper than despair. And you know what? That truth is not just a bunch of sayings. The truth is alive. You can go on and on and on into it forever, and there's always more that astounds and confounds and gives wonder to the truth. The truth is alive, and it will pursue us no matter how far we run away from it. It will continue and persist relentlessly after us. The truth is alive. The truth loves you. Life loves you. Hope loves you. Compassion loves you. Nobility, grace, beauty, glory love you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you and every other human being on this planet. The kingdom of Christ is not limited by borders, as human kingdoms must be. It does not lay claim to land as human kingdoms do. The kingdom of Christ exists everywhere and in all places, and especially when we act out our authority as queens and kings to fulfill God's dreams. The reign of Christ will come someday and bring God's will on the earth and blessing and peace. Yes, someday. But the reign of Christ is not just off there someday. It is right here, right now, whenever you or I show compassion or love or hope or peace. Our life. And not only that, the truth, Jesus, comes to us at the cross, at the places where we are most crushed and most despairing, the places where we are least noble, the places where we are least beautiful and least glorious, where we are most full of hate and where we are most full of despair and where we are most inclined to death, the places where lies win. That's where Jesus comes to us first, at the cross, and he brings the love of God there. There, he brings the truth of God to that place. We can't get to him, but he comes to us at the cross, and that changes everything, everything. You know the kinds of stories about royalty that I think please us the most? I know it pleases me the most. Are the kinds of stories where the royalty comes and engages the commoner. You know that song, King Wenceslas? I'm breaking the rules. I'm going to sing a Christmas song. It's not Christmas yet. Don't strike me down. But you know, good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen, where the snow lay round about, deep and thick and even. Brightly shone the moon that night, though the frost was cruel, when a poor man, here we go, came in sight, gathering winter fuel. So this poor guy is trying to keep warm in the winter. Hither, page, and stand by me, if thou know'st it telling. You know, the king can't make it without the page, right? Yonder peasant, who is he? Where and what his dwelling? The page knows, the king doesn't. Sire, he lives a good league hence, underneath the mountain, up against the forest fence, by St. Agnes' fountain. The king has the resources, but the page has the knowledge. Bring me flesh and bring me wine, bring me pine logs hither, thou and I shall see him dine. I can't remember the rest. Out into the cold they went, page and king together, through the rude wind's wild lament and the bitter weather. The two work together to bless those who are common. We love to see the president give out green beans at the Thanksgiving dinner for homeless folks. We love to see the Duchess of Windsor work for people who have mental disorders and for children in Africa and for hospice arrangements for children. We love to see this because it reflects God's dreams for us. And it helps us to do the same. Queens and kings of God's realm, thanks be to God.